Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll be going to your calls in just a few moments. I want to say a little something about an article that I read in USA Today. The article was titled, People Trust Science. So, why don't they believe it? The article is interesting on a lot of levels, including the fact that a lot of anti-science, well, it's being passed off as actual science, which is precisely the problem. Because just as the masses only see what their paradigms allow them to see, so too scientists are not exempt from being bound by paradigms that unconsciously function as what we would call frames or perhaps perceptual filters. Put another way, scientists are not immune from being stuck in psycho-epistemological cocoons, or stuck in their own linguistic hall of mirrors, or stuck in their own echo chambers. And therefore, scientists, like virtually all of us, we're subject to misperceiving psychological certainty as though it were some kind of epistemological validity. Moreover, there is also what I like to call stakeholder interests. Now, these interests affect research in the sciences no less than in any other discipline, perhaps even more. Add to that motivated blindness, and the elixir becomes ever more toxic. Once you've drunk the Kool-Aid, it becomes very difficult to perceive the force of inconvenient data. Of course, the problems with objective science do not stop there. Think shoddy research or sophistry or sensationalism. And worse yet, consider the very real possibility that scientists, I'm thinking now in my mind of Bill Nye, James Watson, they are clearly advancing their own parochial cultural agendas. Though James Watson, for example, is a Nobel Prize laureate, his so-called scientific objectivity, though, is very, very colored by his worldview. And that's why he has a very eugenic view, particularly when it comes to children. It was James Watson who said, because of the limitations of present detection methods, most birth defects are not discovered until birth. However, says Watson, if a child was not declared alive until 3 days after birth, the doctor could allow the child to die if the parents so chose and save a lot of misery and suffering. I mean, think of the implications of that. So you have a child, you can look it over for 3 days and say, no, I'm going to send that one back. In other words, I'm going to kill it. Regrettably, both Watson and Nye not only suffer from all of the things I just mentioned, but I think as well a serious case of Christophobia is in play. Bottom line, make sure you examine your paradigm. We don't think as much about our paradigms as we think with our paradigms. So we have to cleanse our perceptual lenses. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is John in New Jersey. Hi, John.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I was raised Catholic, and I currently go to a Protestant church, and I'm a pretty new believer, a couple of years, and I really love the Lord. I love Jesus. And I guess my question is, I'm kind of torn between Protestant church or Presbyterian church and the Catholic church. There's a lot of differences, and I think about what Christ told Peter to build his church. Was that the Catholic church he was building? I mean, I'm kind of torn. I just wanted to know your opinion on that.
No, it wasn't. Remember that Peter's affirmation is that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is the rock, that Jesus Christ is the foundation. So Peter was affirming that Jesus Christ was Messiah. The affirmation that Peter made is an affirmation that is foundational to Christianity. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He lived the perfect life. He died. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and therefore, Jesus Christ has left us with a commission. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. So Jesus Christ is the true Messiah. He is the true rock. He is the true foundation. Now, what came out of that is an early Christian church that carried on this message. There was a creedal statement that can be dated very, very close, even within weeks of Messiah's murder, that eventually became codified in a creed. That creed informed the church. And the church began to do the very things that Jesus Christ had instructed them to do. The first of which, of course, is to worship God. I mean, that's what we're created for. But we also want to have tremendous intimacy with one another, fellowship within the body of Christ, and then we want to be equipped to go out and impact the world. So the issue is not as much evangelism as being equipped for evangelism, because if you're equipped, you're going to impact the world. So what does that mean? Today, we carry that heritage from the time of the early Christian church to the present. The gates of hell have not prevailed against the church. There was a great schism that took place between East and West in 1054. There's another great schism that took place at the time of the Reformation. The church at that time in the West had become addicted to many different excesses like indulgences. So you had a guy like Johann Tetzel say, as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. Well, Martin Luther was outraged by the excesses of the Roman Catholic Church, and again, there was a great schism that took place. Out of that great schism, we still have an Orthodox Church, we still have a Catholic Church, we still have Protestant churches, but within those churches, you can find false churches and true churches. You can find, in essence, those who genuinely follow the Lord and His teachings and His instructions as they are passed down through the centuries, and those who kind of make it up as they go along. And so, with respect to Roman Catholicism, I've said this for 30 years in the broadcast, it's a true church with what I would consider significant error. But in saying that, I say that with gentleness and humility, because some of the greatest minds in the Christian church today, and some of the people doing most with respect to common cause issues, are Roman Catholics. Not only that, I mean, who could do without Augustine? Who could do without Aquinas? So the Roman Catholic Church has a very significant heritage, and there are great Roman Catholics to the present. I've mentioned many of them on the broadcast. I think of the great apologists today, like Jay Richards, and many others could be mentioned. Within Protestantism, same thing. Jack Graham. He's the head of a Southern Baptist church in Texas, a very influential church. I've known Jack for years. There's a lot of things I could say about Jack. But the best thing I could say about him, and the most authentic thing I could say about him, is that he's the absolute real deal. And so there are genuine Christians and Christian leaders in all of these various expressions of Christianity. The big thing is you have to be committed to essential Christian doctrine.
Thanks.
Hey, you got it. When I say essential Christian doctrine, I am, of course, talking about mere Christianity as C.S. Lewis expressed it. Also want to mention, as we go to break, a plug for people joining the Christian Research Institute's support team. And many people are joining the monthly support team. When you do, I'd be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tim. He's listening in Leavenworth, Kansas on the web. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Hanegraaff. How are you doing?
Well, thank you.
The question I had for you tonight is, you basically believe in old earth, and I'm trying to get some answers to this. I've been reading, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be a Atheist by Frank Turek, and they basically believe that, you know, God could have used 13 billion years. But what I don't understand is, I was thinking about the logistics of this. If everything started at one point, and then everything's 13 billion miles away, I mean 13 billion light years away, how could it start at one point and be that far away, be that vast? I mean, there's no way for a galaxy or something to travel that far of a distance in that many years. And so there's a problem here, no matter how you look at it. Could it be possible that God created them out there like that, 13 billion miles away? Because I don't see how it could have traveled from one point to that far of a distance.
Yeah, I think you need to make a distinction between time and distance. But before getting into that minutia, I think that you can harmonize a Big Bang with Genesis. And there's a very simple reason for that. It is that the Big Bang theory supposes that the universe began as an infinitely dense singularity. And then it has, and you sort of alluded to this, it has ever since been expanding for billions of years. And although the Big Bang is not communicated in the Genesis account of creation, this is not intended to tell us all of the details. The book of nature is a way that we can find out more about the details. So this is not communicated in the Genesis account of creation, but it does, as a theory, lend scientific credibility to the scriptural contention that God created the universe ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. And let me give you a couple of reasons that go along with that. Like the Bible, the Big Bang theory hypothesizes that the universe had a beginning. And that stands in stark opposition to what I would call the scientifically silly suggestion that the universe has eternally existed. And I don't mean to be crass here, but this is an idea that was very, very popular in science. And this is because paradigms only allow us to see what paradigms allow us to see. If we would have taken the Bible as the truth, this is one thing that the Bible says. It doesn't give us a lot of the details, but it does say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was a beginning and there was a beginner. And that's sort of the second point that I would underscore. If the universe had a beginning, it had to have a cause. And the cause of all space, time, matter, and energy has to be non-spatial, non-temporal, immaterial, unfathomably powerful, personal. Well, I guess you kind of know where I'm driving at. It has to be the God who has revealed himself to us in Scripture, as well as revealed himself in the created handiwork all around us. So the Big Bang flies in the face of the preposterous proposition that the universe sprang into existence out of nothing, and lends great credence to the Genesis contention of a creator who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. I'm going to leave it at that, Tim, but let me say that I have answered virtually every question that could possibly be supposed on this matter in a book called The Creation Answer Book. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Cheryl in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hank, my question for you, I want to know what you think of doctor-assisted death. I had a friend today that, I'm going to say, was euthanized, and he was a Christian man, and we had big disputes on this. And he'd say to me that the only unpardonable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and that didn't I know that we were under grace?
But is this what the man said who was euthanized?
That had doctor-assisted, correct.
Yeah, suicide.
And then he also talked about the siege at Masada. Is that? I don't know if I'm even...
Masada, yes.
Can you... Hank, I still don't feel right. Maybe I don't feel right about it. Can you talk to me about it?
Yeah, I can. And bless you, dear sister. Yeah, I mean, look, from a biblical perspective, the timing and the terms of death are the providence of God alone. The Bible's absolutely clear about that. And therefore, a doctor is never permitted to usurp the prerogative of God. And from the standpoint of the person that you're mentioning, if you're hastening death based on subjective judgments concerning the quality of your life or something else, what you're doing is you are directly violating the scriptures. And I think it is a very serious matter. Now, I've pointed out in the past that passive euthanasia is morally permissible and that it allows the process of dying to run its natural course. But active euthanasia, and that's what we're talking about here, directly involves the taking of a human life, and therefore it's murder. And murder is where someone is taking, in this case, taking their own life. They're using means, they're using a doctor, they're using the opportunities afforded to them, but it's a very, very bad thing. My dad, I would use as a classic example of someone struggling in a terrible, terrible way. He had a fibrosing in the lungs that encroached upon his ability to assimilate oxygen. And as a result, he died a suffocating death. And I watched him go through that agony. And as he's going through that, I would often ask him, Dad, wouldn't you love to be with the Lord? And he would always tell me, he would say, yes, I would love to be with the Lord, but every moment the Lord gives me on this earth is precious. In other words, he was looking forward to the struggles, the physical struggles, the suffocation, all of that to be over on the one hand, but he recognized that God's timetable is perfect. And I would say that this is one of the great things that happened for our family. My dad lying on his deathbed, having the opportunity to bless every one of his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, taking a final breath and going home to be with the Lord. And I've never forgotten that. And so subjective ideas about the quality of life are simply spurious. We don't know what God can do with our lives, even in the most agonizing moments. I guess it was C.S. Lewis who said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts to us in our pains. That is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. We don't want to tamper with that.
And you know what, the end of it, Hank, so he had just found out 2 days ago, because he wasn't told, you're not told where it's going to take place until just immediately before. And this just gave me the creeps. And it was done at a senior's care facility. And I'm thinking, why then isn't it done at a hospital or a hospice? Does that strike you as really odd, or am I just creeped out by the whole thing?
Well, I think you're legitimately creeped out by the whole thing, but this is our culture. I mean, you look at what's going on in Europe. I was born in Holland, and I can tell you, family members of mine have been euthanized in Holland. You know, there you have a social system. The social system doesn't want to keep caring for people that are considered burdensome. And so what do we have? Right now in Europe, the native populations are self-annihilating through abortion and euthanasia and same-sex sexuality and gender fluidity. And I mean, the list goes on, but they're self-annihilating. And the consequence is not only the consequence for a person, but it is a consequence for a culture. All of us, even when we have maladies, has something to offer to the world. And, you know, obviously, if you're a pagan, you're going to live according to pagan practices. But if you are a Christian, you have to resist this with every fiber of your being. It is God who determines the days of our lives. All the days ordained for us are written in His book. before one of them came to be. Cheryl, I thank you for calling. I wish I could talk to you longer. I pray that the Lord's grace and peace might be upon you. And as a result of this call, I pray that you also might be a clarion voice to others. That you can take this and use this for God's good, for His glory, recognizing that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, namely you, Cheryl, and are called according to His purposes. I am out of time. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But please do stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. What you do by standing with us makes a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. So long.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.